news, I received a note in the mail from a friend of mine. It was a thank you note for something I'd given her, but she put this note in here, and it's one of the best things I've heard yet on attitude. It says, I am not free as to the things that will happen to me, but I am 100% free as to the attitude I have toward these things. My personal well-being or my suffering depends on my attitudes. Isn't that true? It all depends on our reaction, our attitudes to the things that are happening to us. We've been talking about attitudes for, I think it's 12 or 13 weeks, and we've talked an awful lot about the attitude of gratitude. You know, the first petition that we always make in prayer, and I hear it here, I hear it other places, we always say, we thank you, Lord, for that we can gather here today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. And on and on and on. And we really do. I don't doubt that there's not a person here that doesn't really, really thank the Lord for who we are in him and what he has done for us because of this great salvation. But I want to talk to you this morning about the opposite of gratitude, which we call murmuring. It's not a pretty topic, but you know, I'm not one that's going to take the pretty things out of the Bible. I think you have a responsibility to declare the whole counsel of God, because when we understand the uglies of the uglies, then we really appreciate the beauty of the blessings that God has for us in his word. The Bible calls it murmuring in the King James Bible, and in the Concordance, the King James Concordance, there are 40 references to this word, 25 in the Old Testament and 15 in the New Testament. And in Bible, this is always a negative word, always a negative word. It is always brought problems with God's people. Now, most of the references in the Old Testament are against Moses. I'm sure that's familiar to you, as much Bible teaching as you've had. I'm sure you remember that most of the murmuring was against Moses. Most of the New Testament murmuring is the Pharisees murmuring against Jesus. Amen. Think about that, is there your familiarity with the Gospels. Religion against reality. The first mention of this word murmuring is in the 15th chapter of Exodus, where they murmured against Moses. Now, the background of this, and you're familiar with it, but I don't remember the verse. It's in the 15th chapter of Exodus after they had crossed through the Red Sea. Now, the background of this murmuring is what makes it so horrible in God's sight. What happened before? These people, now listen, these people had been delivered, set free from the strongest nation on the face of the earth at that time. They had been slaves in Egypt. God had led them through the Red Sea, had drowned Pharaoh and his army. They were scot-free, delivered from bondage, delivered from slavery. And the first thing that went wrong, they murmured against Moses. Now, if you'll let your pride and your dignity just lay hold of that for a minute, you'll see how horrible that is. They had just been delivered. The first thing that went wrong, they began to murmur against Moses. The hardship concerning the water caused them to complain. And in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and you need to turn there now, we will just in a minute, gives us serious instruction, gives us, you and me, the New Testament church, serious instruction based on Israel's experiences. And if you can't remember the gist of those verses, then you need to read it every day, the things that happened to Old Testament Israel because of the sins that they committed. Now, we'll look at it in a minute. See, the sacrifice of thanksgiving that we've talked about out of Hebrews 13, because it's a sacrifice, the fact that it is a sacrifice means that it's not always a hoop and hollering, rejoicing, successful, really feeling good, adventurous, fun kind of thing. That you sacrifice to praise. You praise God. Anyway, I get tired of that. You know, we used to be a charismatic cliche, praise the Lord anyhow. That's not exactly what it means, but in everything give thanks and give the sacrifice of praise. It comes from the Old Testament prophet Hosea, the calves of our lips. Don't go take a bull or a calf or a goat or a pigeon. Give thanks. Psalm 69 says it pleases the Lord more than all of the offerings that you could take. Now, like I say, this is not a pleasant subject at all. But how many of you know we need it? Did everybody respond? Not, we'll stand you up and cast the spirit of lying out of you. Have a deliverance service. In the dictionary, it's not quite as fatalistic as it is in the Bible. It can just a little bit in the dictionary be seen maybe just a tiny bit positive, but not joyful. Also in the dictionary and in medical science, there's a condition called a heart murmur, which makes a very uncertain sound. Now, these references in the Bible, however, are all negative. Other words, newer translations call them grumblers, constant gripers, fault finders, complainers. And if we were going to receive a grade on that this morning, we'd get A+, wouldn't we? Some of you are honest. Some of you are so sanctimonious. But it's interesting to note now, let me go back to this a minute. Those who were delivered were the fault finders. Can you apply that today? We've been delivered. We've been delivered. We're free from the bondage of sin. We have a new life in the Spirit. Old things are passed away. All things are new. We are delivered from the power of sin. We are delivered from the fear of the grave. We are delivered from the snares of the devil. We are free. Hallelujah. If you do that again, I'll shout. We are free. And yet, I'm going to tell you something else. We live in the best nation on the face of the earth. This is a wonderful place to live. We could talk to you an awful lot about what it's like in Russia, couldn't we? And those that are there are still having the problems. Cindy remembers that Cindy couldn't go to town without being afraid that she would get knocked down and trampled on the bus. Rude people, no conveniences, no good transportation. We just absolutely should not ever complain about anything. Really. Well, yes, we do. We learn a lot. Now, in four times in Exodus, and two times in Numbers, we read this. Now this gets me, and it'll get you too, I think. That the people murmured against Moses in their tents, in their tents. See, over their meals, among their families, they complained. See, that's more deadly than doing it just by themselves. Does everybody hear what I said? They murmured in their tents. Now, the New Testament Pharisees, like I said, they murmured against Jesus. And there's a place where the disciples murmured against Jesus because of his hard sayings that they didn't understand. The people murmured against Jesus, but most of it was Pharisees. And one time, now this is so like us, it is so like us in Luke's gospel, they murmured against Jesus because he was friendly to Zacchaeus. I said, why would he want to bother with people like him? He's a tax collector. And we find ourselves criticizing people we know because of such things as that. In case we don't get to it, and I want to do it right now, so we will get to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I couldn't ever be in a Bible lesson anywhere about anything that I didn't mention this chapter, I guess. But there's so much in it for us, and I brought my Amplified Bible today because the Amplified Bible is probably the clearest translation there is today, but they're all good. But chapter 10, that verses 1 through 12, and we're going to scan those verses 1 through 12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 12. there are listings there of what God had against the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt. Verse 10 says, let me look at this. They all came out together. They all drank the same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ, back over in verse 4. Yet God was not pleased with the majority of them, and they were overthrown and strewn along the ground in the wilderness. Verse 6 says, now these things are examples, warnings, and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal things as they did. And you find references to that in the book of Numbers chapter 11. Don't be worshippers of false gods, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and you know what happened at the golden calf. Now let me talk to you just a minute about idolatry. See, anything that you're going to serve with more zest than you serve Jesus is an idol in your life. James Robinson said that. If you don't like it, fuss at him. That has been, I've never forgotten that. Anything that we love more than we love Jesus has already become an idol in our heart. And the nation has gone into idolatry over sports, and there's nothing wrong with sports. It's how we hold them in our heart.
That's right.
Over recreation, there's nothing wrong with recreation. But it's how we react to that as compared to our obligation. Our obligation, our commandment that Jesus is first.
Uh-huh.
See, he does not want to share that position with anyone and won't. So whatever we're more excited about than we are about God, about the Lord and his word. Let me put that in there. His word, you know what gives me the right to say that? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. And what fools we are when we put so much time on things that's going to burn up and pass away and disappear, and we neglect the one thing that's going to survive.
That's right.
Am I interpreting that right? Is that right, David? You understand that? Is that right? We must not gratify, verse 8, evil desire or indulge in immorality, if some of them did. And 23,000 died in a single day. You find that in the 25th chapter of Numbers. Now, let me tell you something about sexual immorality, and you won't like it, but you know, I need to say it anyway. If you find pleasure, gratification, fulfillment in the trashy junk that's on the television, then you are guilty of immorality. These brothers are shaking their head. I appreciate that. If that's your thing, then you are following after immorality. Absolutely. I mean, that is biblical. You cannot satisfy your flesh by lusting after filthy stuff. And brothers and sisters, it is filthy. It is filthy. You can be flipping channels. You know, I like to, sometimes you get something good on channel 32 once in a while. I love the travel channel. Sometimes 41, 47, maybe I'm not familiar with that. 55, whatever. But if you don't specify the channel and you flip around, you will see the worst things that you can possibly imagine. And if you stop and put your mind on that kind of thing and get interested in it, then this situation right here has already taken place. Do you agree? Well, let me go on. Now, he said we should not tempt the Lord, tempt his patience, become a trial to him, critically appraise him and exploit his goodness, as some of them did by poisoning and being killed by serpents. Okay? That's complaining, that's murmuring, but the next verse is worse. Verse 10 says, nor discontentedly complain, as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, which is death, and that's in Numbers chapter 16. Now, verse 11 says, and you won't like this either, verse 11 says that these things happen to them as examples, as a figure, a warning. They were written in to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation, and their concluding period. Isn't that a good translation of the Bible?
Yeah.
Get you one if you don't have one. It is wonderful, the Amplified Bible. Now, these things happen to them as examples to us. Now, what is shocking is that this murmuring is counted among the sins that are listed there, and none of them are saying this is a big sin, this is a little sin. Have you ever noticed that in the epistles where Paul is talking about problems in churches and among people, that nothing is insignificant? That adultery is mentioned in the same verses as homosexuality, as bitterness, wrath, clamor, division, carnality, envy, prejudice. And there's no classification. Am I seeing that right? There is no classification. So what I am saying to us, not to you, us, because we have this, the easiest thing in this world, to murmur and complain. It really is. It's the most natural thing for us to criticize it. Now, what we are saying, what we have to face up here to, is that that is as big a problem for our Christian maturity. That is as much a sin problem as the other things that are named here. You can't refute that. It doesn't say, and by the way, you know, it's not really important, but don't complain. It doesn't say that. Spurgeon talks about this. He said it's an infantile sound. Murmur. Isn't it? No sense to it. No wit in it. No thought given to it. It's the cry of a brute more than it is the cry of a man. As long as a person is alive and out of hell, there's no cause to complain. That's what Spurgeon said. That's what Spurgeon said. As long as a person is alive and out of hell, he has no reason to complain. And then he says this third thing. Men are always quarreling with God because he will not submit his will to their dictation. Isn't that just like us? Yes, it is. And this verse 11 is really one of the, 1 Corinthians 10, one of the strongest verses in all the New Testament. God help us to take the word seriously. Oh, I tell you, friends, we take it so lightly. This is a serious thing. Now, I wanted to go look with you in the book of Jude. If you'll turn over there, the last book in the New Testament next to Revelation. The book of Jude. Kind of scanning through that little book. There's a general epistle. That is, it's not written to any church, not written to any particular group or no particular person or place, but it's for all the Christians who were at that time serving the Lord. It's a whole lot like the second chapter of 2 Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter. Warning Christians against false teachers, seductions and seduction, deceivers. And it is to inspire Christians to love the truth of the gospel. I think we don't have any idea as to how much seduction we're faced with in modern Christianity. Do you ever think about it? See, any person that will stand before a microphone or a television screen and tell you that you are absolutely supposed to be rich if you're a believer. Yeah. I've heard that, haven't you? Yeah. Well, see, that is a false doctrine. Amen. John says, I pray that you will prosper even as your soul prospers. But it doesn't say, be so rich and mighty. You see, we have to be very, very careful. And I've heard people say that you can, you know, that you can claim someone's salvation and they'll be assured of salvation. I don't see that being biblical. And there are other things. But I want to tell you what, and this is ugly what I'm fixing to say. So what else is new, huh? But these programs are often so decorated, so full of fast, peppy music, so full of beautiful women singing, so full of rich baritone voices, so full of all of the things in Christianity that get our attention. That we get, they get our attention, and that we just move right in and soak in. Is that all right? Until the first thing you know, we are trapped into believing something that really isn't scriptural. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, brother. We need to be very cautious that we stay in the truth of the gospel of the Lord. Jesus said it. I love to quote it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what was he talking about? He was talking about himself. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he turned to those who were believing him, and he said, and you are the light of the world. And as Sue Ellen was saying, our obligation is to let this light shine. There's a wonderful church. I mean, we're not defeated. The church will never be defeated. If the church is defeated, then the Bible isn't true. But we have to build ourselves up in the faith so that our light can shine. Even if we came to martyrdom, you see, you'd have a responsibility to let your light shine even then. Now, Jude talks about, let me run on here. If Jude, he identifies himself there as a brother of James, a servant of Jesus, and it's certainly not Judas Iscariot at all. Now, verse 1, oh, it's just so beautiful. Called children, dearly loved. The New American Standard and others talk about being sanctified by the Father. And that's a sweet set apart. Now, he says, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. And the word contend is to maintain, to keep, to hold on to, and don't let it go. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that is, to those who are saved. Uh-huh. See, this is a clear call, always has been. Yes. There's always been rivalry. You know, really, I don't know that it's so much anymore. I guess it is. But I can remember that over the years, there's been such a competition among denominations. You know, we've got the truth. We're right. If you don't belong to us, you ain't right. And some of them even get cultish. That if you don't join us, then you can't be saved. We see, now that's false doctrine. The faith that was once delivered to the saints, a murmuring, complaining disposition causes very bad attitudes. Such a disposition has no constructive, edifying words to say. They murmur against God, against God's providence, against other men and their conduct. They anger easily. Everything that happens causes them to be angry and upset, and they're never pleased with any circumstance. Have you ever known anyone like that? I do. I have a very close family member like that. And I want to tell you something. It will get you into very serious trouble.
I know it.
A bad, grumbling, murmuring, complaining attitude is deadly. It'll destroy your physical health. See, now Jude reminds them, these Christians, what I'm saying is that this murmuring, complaining thing is like it is in 1 Corinthians 10. It's lumped all in there together. That this was one of the errors in the early church. This is one of the problems in the early church. Y'all ever see what I'm talking about? Jude reminds them then that Christians ought to remember what they've heard preached. That we need to remember the gospel. You know, right off the top of my head, I could give you 5 verses that ought to put us in joy, just in a spirit of celebration. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have learned wherever I am to be content therewith.
Amen.
Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, beautiful, pure, you know, high and holy. This is. Think on these things. Think about that now, how beautiful that is. In everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing. There's just hundreds of them that just ought to... You know, we're free from the law of sin and death. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Count your freedom.
Hallelujah.
You used to sing a little old song a long time ago, I'm free from the fears of tomorrow and I'm free from the guilt of the past. I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free at last.
Wow.
There ain't nothing like being free.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
See, we have nothing really to complain about. To remind them, remember what they'd heard preached by those who had preached to them. Verse 17. He said, remember, beloved, Jesus warned us about these things. Remember in the Gospels in Matthew, I think along about chapter 24, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus warned him about false teachers. He warned them about the love of many would wax cold. So remember that. Remember that you've been warned and instructed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in most all of the epistles, there is warning about deception. Let me tell you the strongest verse about deception just hit me at the top of my head. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, that is with adultery, fornication, immorality, evil desires, and all that mess. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Isn't that good? I mean, see, these are some of the things that we need to think on instead of listening to every complaining of a person that's got something to gripe about or getting involved in any kind of false doctrine. See, you remind them that they need to remember what they've heard, what they know. And we say, well, what has this got to do with murmuring? Let me tell you something. In light of everything we've said, if a Christian can't be joyful, thankful over truth and is always complaining about something, we open the door for false doctrine. If we can't be satisfied with what we know we have and we're always looking for somewhere we can be satisfied, you're on the wrong track, because you're not satisfied with where you are. We're satisfied, bless God, with who you are. You see so many people, and I don't understand all I'm saying, I'm ignorant. But I hear people always going from church to church to church to church to church,
right,
looking for something,
and
they're never satisfied. And now I know, that you have that right and all that kind of thing, but still and all, our satisfaction is our salvation.
Yes.
The riches of Christ that have been given to us so amply and so generously and so freely. You know, if you just knew three things, it'd be enough to shout about, Randy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he said, I'm come that your joy might be full.
Amen.
And then as he was leaving, he said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give with you. Peace that passes understanding. You see, what Jude is saying and what Paul is saying, think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure. With all prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. He is exceedingly able to do more than you can ask or think.
Amen.
You see, there are so many things for us to be thankful for. Verse 20 through 23 are instructions to the church. Instructions for the church. Build yourselves up in the most holy, in your faith. Make progress, that's it. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard, keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you unto life eternal. Don't refute as to do so, and do convict those who dispute with you, but have on mercy on those who waver in doubt. Oh, that's sweet. Try to save somebody else. Snatch them out of the fire. Loathe the garment that's spotted by the fire of evil and the flesh that's spotted with all kind of sensuality. And then this is the most beautiful doxology in all of the New Testament, isn't it? Now unto him who is able. As brothers and sisters, he's able. And he's willing to keep you without stumbling, slipping, or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory with unspeakable, ecstatic, and triumphant joy and exultation. Oh, isn't that good? Now unto him who is able. And you see, it's him that we preach. It's him that we believe. It's him who has truth. I know that's grammatically incorrect. Don't look at me like that. Remember him. Him. It is he. It is Christ that we are to remember. And he talks about that and gives a wonderful label to this God that he's talking about. To the only one God, our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, dominion, power, authority, before all time, now and forever, unto all the ages of the eternity. But you see, what I want us to see is that the Bible lists murmuring, complaining, fault-finding, and grumbling, and all of that with the same sins that he lists all of these other things. Well, thank you. It's time to go and pass. Hurry, so I don't get fired.